Good evening, everyone. Good evening. You've tuned into Radiance by Design. And talk about tuning. That's really what this show is all about. Tuning ourselves up so we're radiating consciously. That's one thing. And we're going to have you calling in and talking about what's going on in your life and how to switch the way you're radiating out into the world. Because if we radiate our thoughts and feelings that are negative, we run into a lot of repeated patterns. And it's so frustrating. We think we're working on everything. We've all watched The Secret and What the Bleep and all that, and then we're banging into some of the most frustrating repetitions of things that we prefer that we couldn't even associate with, like bad relationships, money problems, some kind of allergies or health issues. You know what I mean? They can be karmic, but they can also just be, in another way of putting it, is looking at as subconscious programming. And they do emanate from us in the form of energy. It's really interesting watching many of the people, as most of you listening to Radiance by Design know, I'm an intuitive and an energy counselor, and working with a lot of people who are calling for sessions these days, I'm so excited because you and I, and everyone, to some degree or other, are becoming more and more high frequency. The frequencies are moving up on the planet and in the solar system and in the universe, and we always talk about that. But I'm watching people stumble through, running through their karmic programs, and then putting their hands on the steering wheel of their mind or getting at the helm of their subconscious mind and boop, moving out of those karmic programs and becoming more astute, more balanced, more embodied, as they create the life they want. Instead of the tyranny of the subconscious, they're working with the conscious, but they're also learning to work with the frequencies and vibrations and use the upward motion, the spiraling motion of rising frequencies to pull out, sort of like, I think of it as like corkscrews, pulling out the sludge of our karmic existence of the many, many lifetimes that we've all lived, pulling that sludge out and releasing it so that we can pick up speed vibrationally and create more swiftly with our mind and hopefully with our hearts, because the mind by itself isn't really good enough. I shouldn't say it isn't good enough. It's just that when we embody with our heart, with our caring, and with our love of self and expand that out, our love of spirit, our love of self and spirit and our universal self, then we move with our mind and with our heart. And we change our reality. It's really interesting, isn't it? So here we are moving into, and season's greetings, everyone. We're moving into 2011, and there seems to have been a bit of hype about 2012 for quite a long time. The Mayan calendar thing, where many people are talking about dropping off the face of the earth, the end of the world, and the, what do you call them? Monsters are rising. What are they called? Anyway, they're rising out of the dirt and out of the dust because it's 2012. No, none of us really believe in that. But I do believe as the frequencies speed up, then how can we maintain our relationship to time as it's expressed by calendars? That's kind of how I simplistically put it with myself. It's got to be the end of a very linear understanding of time, not in the moment, but we're already building up to it. And how many of you feel that things are going very fast? I've talked to two kinds of people these days. Some people feel like they've got more time to do things, and a lot of others are saying, my gosh, so much happens in one day. So many decisions that we make are made in a short period of time, and then changes come up. How many of you feel like that? And the thing about that is we're experiencing the speed up. And once again, I want to say that I think the advantage of that is we're learning to flow, kind of flow with change and flow with our, deeper purpose and flow with the collective change. Not resisting so much the fact that you can't control what's going on all the way through your time, all the way through your day, all the way through your month, all the way through your years. You can't control it as much as we could before. Well, I have to laugh about that and go, you know what, we never really could control it, but now it's a little speedy. And my feeling, again, and my guides keep talking to me about this, is that the essence of our being is moving very swiftly through some kind of self-realization. And the other part of that is, if we let it, if we resist it, that's not going to happen. That's probably where the big destruction is, the zombies. I was trying to think of that name and I couldn't think of it. But anyway, the big destruction for that a lot of people are predicting could happen to a lot of us if we hang on to what used to be with our minds and again with our hearts and with our hands. If you hang on really tight to what used to be, what's going to happen? It's like holding onto your steering wheel as you're turning right or turning left. If you hang on to it really tightly, the car isn't going to gracefully move around the corner, is it? And if with your mind and my mind, we learn to let go, one of my favorite things of letting go of is identity. The way my identity, I've been clutching it in according to the principles that I thought meant success, or I thought meant success in the world, or I thought were based on a comparative mind thing. Dropping my identity, dropping your identity, and that's back to sitting in a quiet space and looking at all the ways we describe ourselves as a success. I'm a businesswoman. I'm an intuitive. I'm a mother. All of these things are temporary descriptions that have very little to do with who we really, really are. And when we hang on to those things for dear life, again, they're like the steering wheel. We don't let it slip through our hands to reformat what it could be and build up a new label if that's what we're after. We become stressed. We fight to maintain this label, whatever it is. And that's where the stress is really, really frustrating for us, isn't it? Anyway, what I like to do, what are we going to create tonight? Let's create a way of seeing ourselves. I'd like to release my identity as it's been, and I'd like to create anew, always create anew, or another way of putting it, a much better way of putting it is, I'd love to let myself be created anew through me, bringing in my guides and angels, higher self, my soul's journey, my purpose on the planet, and so on, and wanting to let it create itself anew is very, very transcendent to me. And another way to call it is ascendant. It's a part of ascension, isn't it? To allow ourselves to change the energy, change the reality. So as we're going to ride the changing frequencies, as we're going to release our identity, as we're going to release the way we clutch at identity or circumstance for the sake of security and safety and familiarity, we're going to let things go. So let's go into our meditation, the sacred space that we design with our mind's eye, and we can feel it. And it's a place in which we can magically be supported to change a lot of things inside of ourselves, to do healing on other people, to manifest, or can just to simply clear, clear, clear. So let's do it all together. Remember this when we all meditate together at the same time, or at least with the same goal and intention, what happens is that pulse, that wave moves all around, and we all are in a community that we want to share. And in that community, everyone gets more powerful, or everyone is more able to release attachments and issues of security in order to allow themselves to be created higher and created anew. And let's have some fun. This is the season to be jolly. Ooh. So let's call in above your heads about 2 miles a golden ball, and below your spine about 40 feet another golden ball, and drop a filament, a golden filament from the upper golden ball right down through your spine into the lower golden ball. How does that feel? Now from the upper golden ball to about waist height, 20 feet out, drop a four-sided gold pyramid. And then upside down, the lower point meeting the lower golden ball, another four-sided pyramid, and have the points of the pyramid at the base meet each other. It's a now you're in an eight-sided figure, an octahedron. And inside of that, create a crystal ball. What kind of colors does your crystal ball show? The outside edges of the crystal ball touch the inside edges of your octahedron. Good. And inside of that, there you are with a star tetrahedron all around you, or a Merkaba. It's a three-dimensional Star of David, and you're inside of it. And it perfects your light body. I always found that my Merkaba was a slightly different shape than things I had read or seen other people describe. So I stood back from that, but I begin to realize that we're creating a Merkaba that is a star tetrahedron or a Star of David that's three-dimensional. And what I've been reading about lately is the Merkaba can be any darn shape. It doesn't have to be one shape or another. So we're kind of interchanging those points. But I keep thinking of like big car lots with fancy cars. And these Merkabas or these star tetrahedrons are like vehicles that help you and I change dimensions. But there's all kinds of different styles, just like your vibration and my vibration have different styles. The essence of our being is different too. So our fingerprints, voice prints. So let's have fun in our star tetrahedron. Spin and spin and spin and spin in it. Spin and spin. Okay, spin some more. And whilst you're spinning, take a look at the screen. There's a magical screen in front of you. And we're going to cut that screen into different panels. And the first one, you're going to project on it a wonderful movie of what it is you want to become. With all of this energy change, transformation, and ascension, what is it you would like to aim for? What do you want to become? See yourself being that. I always want to see myself being multidimensional, coming from the heart, and enjoying it. Be multidimensional by choice in the moment. And I don't know what you want to become, but just when you get to the point where you can see that or experience that somehow, just wrap that in light and let it keep stewing whilst we move to our next screen, which is a little movie of what it is you want to create in the world. As you know, I'm doing some television. It's finally coming up in KVOS in Bellingham. Yay! I'm so excited. And so I see the pieces all coming together, the production coming together, the ideas just flowing. And as it starts to run, the resources and the people that it takes to sustain such a project flowing to me, coming to me for the highest good of all concerned. And I just see it being a self-sustaining, wonderful source of resource and creativity and service for all of us involved. And guess what? I want it to be fun. And we just see it pumping on through. And when I feel it's going well, I wrap it in light. And maybe you want to do home and family in a book, and I don't know what you want, but it can be any project that you've decided about. Good. And when you get it going, wrap it in light. Good. So it can keep stewing. And now let's move to our next screen. And the next screen is our Galactic Healing Center. I call it galactic because we have universal, multidimensional beings working with us. Wonderful, wonderful team. And let's have our healing team that works with us wrap itself around this new healing table in our healing center. And you're the first person that comes in and flops down on the table. Just as I am in my own healing center. There we go. And now we're going to ask for some healing for ourselves. Or perhaps you have a specific injury or wound that you want for them to work on. And it's good to ask, what exactly? What is it you think I should do? Ask your healing team. They may answer you in words, in pictures, in vibrations, in feelings. And And when you feel like you're getting a lot going on in your body, I do, my body's just buzzing like mad. Is yours? When you feel that the energies are moving and something is changing in your body, ask them if they have a message for you. Sometimes their message can, we want to write it down, not forget it. I just got a funny message which said, entrain yourself that you're being treated by life. That made me kind of chuckle. It's always different for me, and I'm sure it is for you. So let's wrap that in light so that I can stew away being healed. But our magical team will replicate themselves around a fresh healing table. And on that healing table, let's put someone else who needs healing. And who wants to come in? Okay. Okay. Here's a woman who has fibromyalgia really badly. And I have to say this about this woman, whom I don't really know very well at all, but she's deeply, deeply, as the guides are saying, deeply, deeply long-suffering and has suppressed her own natural joie de vivre. And really, it's for the sake of getting along with others. Yes, and now I'm asking the team what it is they'd like to do for her. This woman is actually quite heavy, and they're saying that she needs a great deal of TLC in order to bring, you know, we're all different in her beingness. She's actually very, very sensitive, very sweet, and has had a way to hide herself away, and she's afraid to express who she really is in the face of very daunting experiences around her when she was younger. So what they're doing is pulling frequencies and vibrations out of her that keep her being suppressed, if you will. And they're just pulling and pulling them. I can feel it in my own body when they pull. Can you? Mm-hmm. And then we're going to ask if there's any messages for her. You know how they always tell us we make a choice in every moment? They say she needs to be clear that she does absolutely have the ability to choose some of this. And she doesn't feel, and it's easy for us to say that and maybe even wag our finger at someone. However, this woman doesn't even feel at a deep level that she has a choice. And that deep level has to, remember the tyranny of the mind, the subconscious and all that? That deep level in her has to rise to some level of consciousness before she can touch the choice. But she can choose that it be shown to her, can't she? And she has to get out of her own way and not sidestep what might be a blinding reality for her. So wrap that in light. I know there's been some healing in her because her stomach is gurgling. And let's bring in another person. Let's have the team replicate themselves and have a fresh table. And who else comes in? Oh, my. There's another person I don't know at all who's in a wheelchair. Okay. And he's got some kind of disabling disease. So he's lying on the table. He had to get help to lay him on the table. But because this is etheric, we're magical. We just lift him up sweetly and lay him on the table. And the team, the healing team, moves with his little body. He's an older man, but his body is kind of, okay. Oh, I think he's got what they call stenosis. And that, to me, is, I think it's cartilage between the vertebrae, and it's very, very painful. Oh, my. And under every illness, as you know, there's a very deep psychological and emotional trait or drive. And in his case, it's very genetic. And they're showing a really interesting past life where he was a cripple, and he was refined in his job being a cripple. I think it was in the southeastern part of India, and meaning he was set by his family to beg for money. There, that was a job. But in this life, he isn't that. But somewhere deep down, he's got a feeling of not being able to stand up in his own world and be all right about it. He's a little bit like Our Lady, who was had fibromyalgia. He feels that he can't stand up on his own without judging himself. He feels like all of his life, he's been apologetic for a degree of success that he's had. And they're saying that's simply an old imprint where his success was based upon his crippledness, if you will. So that's a bleed-through. So they're pulling frequencies out of him again. And we're using a little reconnection, adding to what they're doing. And they're pulling the frequencies out that have a lot to do with his not having the right to choose success in this life in a physical sense. So he has a terrific amount of emotion locked in each vertebrae. And that, to me, is very interesting. I'm going to follow that up later when I'm not on Global Radio Live. So let's wrap this scenario in light and move it over to the side. And then let's do a political one. Let's bring in a political arena. And you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to bring light in and really shine light on that new kind of wave of change that's coming up underneath the corruption and so on that's being revealed these days. I keep seeing this kind of glittering bubbles of things like entrepreneurialness or people with new ideas of all kinds flickering all across the U.S. And actually, if I look, there's pockets of it all over the world. And it represents to me people who are actively working with the shift, taking the power in their own hands and becoming a new kind of society. And I believe that this is where we're going to send our energy this time. Not that we don't want to love and help people who are in distress, but boy, oh boy, there's a new wave going on. Let's be part of it. So let's call in above your head. Let's call in a beautiful, kind of a salmony pink light. It's extremely radiant. Bring it in through the top of your head, out down your shoulders, out your arms, and that includes your heart, right? And this beautiful salmon pink light goes out there and it tickles and assuages the stress in and really inspires a lot of the beings that are having the courage to become what? People who pioneer ideas, entrepreneurs, people with great ideas that are contagious. They're getting other people to have great ideas and see it rippling all over the world. And maybe we'll send it again. We'll send it all around the world. And let's send it again into the hearts of places like the Pentagon or the oil business and so on, so that in all those businesses, there is new life that is supportive to the earth and supportive to mankind. That's possible, and I don't know how. Different ways of doing energy, different ways of doing politics, different ways of taking a read on people, different ways of supporting the economy. Let's see that rippling round and round and round our planet. Good, until the whole planet is, oops, I have to send it around again. It's not taking quite yet. Little resistance here. And the whole planet is finally swaddled in this wonderful salmony pink glowing light, sparkling light. And it flows right back into you. And fills your heart and your shoulders and arms and your head and shoots up through the top of your head out into the great central sun. And it's so nice to be in a community where we're all doing this. So let's hop into our Merkabas or our star tetrahedrons and spin and spin and spin. Oh, I forgot to close off the Galactic Healing Center. Let's close it off. And spin and spin and spin in your star tetrahedron. And then come on into the room. Merry, merry season, everyone. Merry rebirth season. I'm so glad to talk to you tonight. And I sure hope some of you are going to call in and tell me what's going on. How did you do with the solstice? How did you do with the Mercury retrograde? Is that over yet? Do you know, Bob? Not quite over yet. How did you do with some of the great plans of preparing for gift giving and all of that? Phone in and let me know. The call-in numbers are 888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. Recently, we had a paradigm shifter, Madeline Gerwick, who's an astrologer, but she does business astrology. And she was saying that things just aren't going to work too well. I did not want to hear that, and neither did Bob. But in any case, she said things are not going to work too well until, she said January the 10th, 10th to the 18th, I think, something like that. And that things would start to work better then. And I thought, oh, well, I'm not going to let it bother me because I was born during Mercury retrograde. And that's not working for me. You know, usually it's kind of a calmer time. Well, it hasn't been a calmer time. It's been a very, very high-speed, crazy time. And in that high-speed craziness, it seems like technology keeps, like what Madeline Gerwick said, I'll go back to mine in a minute, but Madeline Gerwick said that what happens is it seems like things are going well and you get really good feedback, and then all of a sudden it doesn't work, and then it's going to work, and then it doesn't work. So all these promises, and it's kind of like the promise is making a U-turn over and over again. And it hasn't been quite that bad for me, but I'll tell you, every time I think I'm going forward about certain things, things just don't work. So I'm really excited about my television show playing on Boxing Day, the day after Christmas, at 12:30 here in Bellingham. But because of miscommunications and a number of other funny little things, which I think are all about Mercury retrograde, it didn't get into any of the television news, so as far as anybody could tell by looking it up, you're not going to know it's on. However, it is going to be on KVOS on Channel 12. But it's been funny for me because I was so disappointed on one hand because I've told a whole bunch of people that I really want them to watch, and then they're not finding any sign of it in the TV news or anything. But somehow I thought, well, there's something good in that. This is like the hold back. And the forward motion is it is going to run. But because there was a mistake, they're now running another one for free for me because, you know, you usually have to pay for this sort of thing. So I'm getting some benefits. So it's like a step back and then another step back and another step forward. And it just seems like there's a lot going on like that. I can see that going on out there with a lot of people, too, that there are some resource problems. People are feeling like, well, now I'm looking here at a man. He was feeling on top of the world. And it was something to do with the economy. And he was feeling really on top of the world because everything was working well. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like the bottom dropped out. Boom, like that. And I'm watching him kind of nervous, panicking, trying to maintain his courage and his heart. It's funny because I'm watching him and I'm going, even your legs felt really, really weak. His right leg got very sore and the body goes into somatic response to these things. And then all of a sudden, where the bottom dropped out, it's come back up for him. So all of a sudden, he's excited again. And it's like, gosh, when I look at him, the danger is, of course, is how deeply we feel when things don't work. Oh, goody, you're on the air. I'll just finish this thought. How deeply we feel when things don't work, and like my friend has a pressure in his chest and a pressure in his right leg, his knee is really excruciating. So you got to make sure that somehow along the way we can hand it over to our higher self, our guides and angels, and not let our little bodies crumble under the pressure. Anyway, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Veronica, this is Ted.
Hi, Ted. How are you?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good.
Are you going up and down? Oh, you are?
I'm sorry.
What did you say?
Well, I was in Costa Rica. Now I'm back, and I was doing a training and getting an operation. So,
what were you getting, an operation on your lungs so you could do more breathing?
No. I had this foot problem that's been going on for the longest time. And suggested that this doctor was good and everything, and he was.
Oh, good.
Oh, it was all good.
Oh, good.
Remember, we had a session back in summer. I don't know if you remember, but
I sure do, Ted. I sure do. But I had forgotten until you reminded me. I got wandering
well,
in the ether.
Well, it got infected, and it's still not totally recovered. And my the disinfectant stuff, you know, antibiotics has run out. And I think it's I can heal it on my own with healers and stuff. And I don't know, and also using, I've done the breath work on it too. So, yeah.
Are you using? I would use. I'm really big into oil of oregano right now.
Uh huh.
Are
no,
you?
I'm not.
I would start taking it regularly because what it's really good for is getting the bacteria, viruses, fungus, leftover stuff from antibiotics to move through your system.
And oh, so uh huh.
It's a nasty tasting thing, but it's pretty, in a way, innocuous, meaning it doesn't hurt you. And I would
oil
use it.
Oil of oregano, huh?
Yep, and I would use about a third of a dropper under your tongue. Immediately follow it with a mouthful of water where you swish it around, and then drink it down because it tastes just horrible. But if you do it every hour for the first day, and then or every hour till you forget. You know, every couple hours or whatever. I play it by ear, then you should be able to do it for like twice a day for a while after that. And it seems to just really do something about funny things that are in our systems, you know?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Where did you get the infection from? Oh, over there, eh? It's because it's so hot?
Yeah, I was in the jungle and stuff, and I was a bit rambunctious. You know, I really wasn't really ready to do all the stuff I was doing.
You're trying to be Superman,
but
were you?
The breathing was awesome, and I'm really wanting to get my practice going. So that's a little, that's a whole new endeavor sort of thing that I'm doing. So hopefully that'll go.
for people who don't know, is you're studying with, it's not Judith Kravitz, it's the other woman. What's her name?
Yeah, Clarity Breathwork.
Okay. We had Judith Kravitz on one night, you know.
Yes, I do. I listened to her. Yeah, she's excellent. Yeah, that was the one I couldn't decide which one to do, and yeah, I went with this Clarity because it fit in with this operation and everything.
Well, I think you're going to do really, really well with your practice, and I want to say this to you. It's not just the breath work that's working for you. It's the fact that you've combined so much experience and so much learning through the years, you know, trying out this, trying out that, and so on. And it's really made a huge difference. It's you're going to be quite the practitioner.
It feels so awesome. It's just amazing that I have such a high from it.
Well, you are a Libra, aren't you? You're an air sign.
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that it matters. So I just think that it helps those of us who are air people to really use the breath.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Sort of makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it does.
So let me look at your foot.
Is chiropractic a good way? I was thinking of going and running around the chiropractic offices. Is that a good way to go, would you guess?
Well, it seems it's the left leg?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. I'm just looking. It's in the foot, in the tarsals, in the little bones?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's inflamed right now, but it's not bad. It's gone way down.
It's gotten better and better?
Yeah. But then, you know, as I've been just got off antibiotics, so I'm a little fearful of that.
I think you're going to be okay, although it's still kind of boiling at some deep level. You know that. You can feel it.
Yeah, it sure is. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I would really dose up on the things like oil of oregano, or I think oil of olive does too, but I've never done that one. I've just used the oregano. But I would want something in your system that really gobbles up those nice little bacteria that are running around, you know?
Okay.
And you're not very good at taking antibiotics. I think it's hard on you, isn't it?
I don't know. I haven't noticed any ill effects, but then you would pick up you pick up subtly stuff.
Well, I would just say, I mean, I would jump into antibiotics if I were you, if I needed them, but I'm looking and going, I think they're hard on your body. So I'd make sure you do something like oil of oregano first. And then if you have to, you may not have to at all, actually.
Yeah, it's at the tail end of the whole thing, I think.
And soak that foot periodically. We do that?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I had been doing that. I didn't today at all, but okay.
Is it better, though? Other than that, is it better? Did you like?
Hear your voice. I haven't been on. I haven't listened for 4 months.
Oh well, we missed you. Did you like Costa Rica?
I did. What I saw of it, but you know, I didn't get much chance. It was all serious business. You know, the training and the operation. But it's nice. Well, you know, there are nice folks there. And, yeah, it's a new country.
They're very gentle people, I think.
I'm sorry.
They're gentle people. They're very kind.
Yeah, they are.
Well, thank you for calling. What are you doing for Christmas,
okay,
Ted?
Okay, thanks, Veronica. Yeah, I took up too much time here.
No, you didn't. I said, what are you doing for Christmas?
Not much. Yeah, there's not too much around.
have a peaceful time anyway.
Yeah, I will. I will.
All right. Thank you for your call. I do too.
Okay,
yes.
Bye-bye.
Bye, honey. Well, that was an interesting call. He wasn't the man with the sore leg that I saw, but he did have a sore foot. So let's see what we're going to look at now. We're going to look at somebody else I'm seeing a woman who's really, really gotten shattered recently. And I think she's got a headache right now. If that's you with a headache, it's a very pretty woman, or at least was pretty. I can't tell. She doesn't look like she's happy right now, so it's hard to see if she's pretty. But she was shattered recently by the loss of, I think it's family structure, probably a child going away to, her household is just broken apart. I think she just broke up her marriage. And I can't tell if he died or if he went away, because he's gone up high and a distance. And right now I haven't got the time to kind of get clear on that. But in any case, she also had to give her child, maybe she just went to college or something. And this woman's whole life has just collapsed. And yet I want to say what's happening in there, and this is the sort of thing we want to do. We want to say to the woman, pay attention to your chest and now back to the perineum, which is that part at the bottom of the torso, the flat piece at the bottom of the torso, and we're going to send some energy up through. Because what I see for this woman is a huge feeling of collapse, of worthlessness, of hopelessness, and I want to say that's a good thing to get into in the sense of detaching from the kind of identity that you've let yourself have. That you were, for example, a married woman and a mother and so on, and all of that has gone, so that there's a feeling of like free fall, and there's a feeling of not belonging anywhere or not having done anything right, and almost like being invisible. And I know you have your job, but your job isn't exactly representative of who you are at a deeper essence level. So let's just run energy through the perineum, and right up through the body, right through the heart, yeah, right up through the chest, the neck, and the head. Good. And we're just going to keep running the energy through. Because it's really interesting. This woman is being given an opportunity. I know this sounds pretty glib when you're going through a dark night of the soul. I don't mean it that way. My heart is with you. But it's very interesting when she releases all her attachments and all her identities with the way life was. Because all of a sudden, she's going to be gifted by losing all that, because in a short while, she's changing direction, she's changing careers, she's changing the way she presents in the world, and she's going to become very well known about... I'm not sure exactly what it is. It's like she's writing and she's speaking and she's really engaging a lot of people in their own empowerment. And she had to lose all that in order to gauge deep within herself what was the most important thing to her. And that most important thing is actually related to becoming your true self. And that true self didn't have time. Oh, and the guides are saying that your life had been kind of a marketed life, that you were living in, quotes, a successful life according to what was told you that was important. It was told to you as you grew up how life really ought to be, and you lived it beautifully. And then when it fell apart, the only thing left for you was to find out what your real self, what your real essence would choose, which, and we mentioned choosing earlier, it's very hard to choose when we're blinded by the urges of the subconscious mind or of patterns or comparative mind, that is comparing ourselves to other people. It's really hard to choose from the essence of your being. But sometimes when we have these initiation times where your life is literally pulled apart or shredded, that's the only time that we finally get to a place inside where the essence of your being begins to speak. And you, my dear friend, are going to just do an amazing change moving through down. I see you going down a little farther. This time of year usually pushes us down just a tiny bit farther if we're not attached, right? But I'm saying to you, please, darling, pull all your attachments up in front of you and release as many as you can. You've got guides and angels around you. You've got a lot of support that wants to help you. And like a cork, you're going to pop to the top of the way life's been, of life's oceans, and you're going to create at a new level. And I'll tell you what, you're going to be very well known for what it is you do. And if you looked at me today and I told you that, you'd say, not a chance, because you don't feel like that. So I'm reminding you that don't wreck your body. If you're going through a really hard time, and many people are, try to unhook from the way you've been defined, from your attachment, and allow, and call your guides and angels in, but allow it to come up through you so that you can reach forward and actually create what's in the essence of your being. I love that, actually. How many of you have been through some initiations? How many of you read the book Initiation? I know there's more than one, but I'm thinking of the one by Elizabeth H., where she gets in touch with past lives. And one of the major lives, because like Lazarus teaches, you have one or two major lives, don't you, that are called pivotal lives that really change all the other lives you have or change the emphasis on lives that you've experienced. But in Initiation, she, in I think 1950s or something, is doing yoga, and she is reminded, or she is awakened to, how in her past life she went through a lot of stuff, but one of the major times was in Egypt, where she got to a point, she wanted to do an initiation, she was only 16 or something, and even though the people who loved her, she was a priestess, even though the people that loved her dearly said she was too young, she wasn't ready, she insisted on doing this initiation, and she failed it. And as she died, I guess at the hands of lions, because she'd lost her magical grip, she heard the voice in her head, the guidance voice saying 3,000 years. So she tumbled into death. She knew that she would be cellularly moving through lifetimes for about 3,000 years. Now, we don't all have to do it that way, but I just am reminded with my friend that we were just talking about, when you go into a period of initiation, it's often a death, or it's a death of circumstance, or it's a death of the will that you're applying to your life. It's a death of the way you're living your life. And nothing works. Talk about solstice and retrogrades and so on. Nothing works for you. You cannot repair it. It won't repair. It's where those things keep happening that don't work for you. And the message is very clear. If we were able to see and think at the time, usually we're kind of emotionally bereft at the time, but if you could see and think, you'd go, oh, okay, I'm being redirected. I'm being shown that any way I attach my identity to this particular circumstance can't work anymore, and that I have to allow to surface a deeper level of my own consciousness. And it's a really wonderful, wonderful book, Initiation by Elizabeth H., which just is an example of how she then goes through all these 3,000 years and gets to today, which was in the 50s, and how she pieces together all of the learnings to form really the result of the initiation, which is the learning that she really was wanting to embody. So at some level, you and I are always on that kind of a trip, aren't we? Let's see, we have time for one more caller, and I hope that you'll call in. Russ, I'm going to pick another mythical person. I need to pick a, let's see, who do I need to pick? Huh, we have here, interesting, they suddenly show a boy who's probably 10 or so. Oh, I'm asking if this 10-year-old boy is the inner child. Aha, okay. So here's the deal. I'm talking to a man, but his inner child was about 10 or 11 when he learned to turn totally away from what he was. He was kind of magical. He was a lot of fun. He was really creative. He liked to perform. But something happened between 8 and 10 which disappointed him so deeply, and he lost, I can feel my body hurting, which is his, he absolutely lost faith in life the way that he believed it was going to go. He lost faith in his father, who became, his father changed from being a nice, stalwart man who really cared about him to being very weak and broken and kind of mean. And the boy turned his back on life as he knew it. And that's really all I'm being given about that. But the man today is probably 50. And I know you're out there and you're listening, or you wouldn't be being chosen by the guides. But I want you, any of you listening, look back to when you were a child and try to remember something that was pivotal about you, and that got you to go on a different path. And see if you can bring yourself, let's do this all together, take a deep breath. Let's go back in time as a child, whether you're a boy or girl, and find a moment in time where you had to change your course and you never felt the same again. And it might have been a lack of trust. It might have been just a change of direction. But for just about everybody listening to Radiance by Design, it was a really strong initiation time in which you could not maintain your life the way it was, and you turned against something that you were dreaming about. Now, I see a number of you around 5 or 6 turned away from what it is you were fantasizing about. My stepdaughter often says she knew she could fly when she was a little kid, and then somebody told her she couldn't. That could be an example. And I remember I used to have pictures of lives that I'd lived before, and when I got to a certain age, I think 6 or 7, probably 7, I couldn't get the pictures anymore. And I don't know what it is, whether we're convinced that they don't exist. Or for some people, you're bright and chipper and you want to be a performer, and all of a sudden you learn that you have to be more introverted, you have to be quiet, you can't go forward. Anyway, I started off talking about this gentleman who's in his 50s or early 50s. And when he was a young boy, he was very open and powerful and entertaining. And somewhere around 10, he turned the other direction. He became kind of surly. He became angry. He became kind of locked in. He's always had a lot of tension in his body, up in his upper shoulders, his back and upper shoulders. And in that tension, he now has a furrowed brow, and he's been determined to be good at whatever it is he's doing professionally, because he's been a businessman for quite a long time. He's got university degrees. But he has been very tense. He's now got... You've got a lot of stomach aches, you've got some real pressure in your lungs, and your frequency is relatively, I would say, it's not really low as much as it's kind of dense and held in place, and I can't see it moving. You know, I would recommend that when people go in and get in touch with that part of you, and in your case, it'd be about 10 years old, who turned direction and kind of lost that amazing joie de vivre and that kind of fun-loving, goofy, spontaneous, improvisational, powerful. You would have been a real presenter, more of a kind of an artsy presenter rather than a lecturer. And yet you've been stuffed inside. You're a little bit heavy. You're out of shape. You've got pressure on your heart. And I can see that you're seeking right now. And I'm saying to you, give you a big hug. Say, happy rebirth time. Get in there and find out about that part of you, that inner child that lost himself around 10 years old. Doesn't have to be traumatic and doesn't have to be abuse or anything. It just is some reason we make a choice to turn in a certain direction, which appears to be safer around authority or fashion or whatever. Now, we're going to have to end this right now, but I'd love you all to do a little bit of that exercise to recover ourselves and to take advantage of these really rapidly changing times, because in these rapidly changing times, you have the opportunity to not only discover yourself, but to release even that the restrictions of that 10-year-old boy. You can release a lot of those and get in touch with the amazing potential of being a human being who's much bigger than anything you and I have ever been taught. Next Paradigm Shifters is going to be a lot of fun. My stepdaughter, Jane Entwistle, has had an improv troupe in San Francisco for 7 years, and now she's in L.A., doing a lot of parts. She wants to become a movie star, but in the meantime, she's teaching and learning and performing, and she's in all kinds of ads and movies and all kinds of bits and pieces. But she's a lot of fun, and when she talks about improv and what's going on around the world with it, it's really inspiring. So she and I are going to do next Tuesday night's show, and I hope you'll tune in at 8 o'clock. We're going to give you some exercises, or she is. I'm not an improv wizard like she is. So I hope you'll tune in and have some Christmas fun or some seasonal fun with us. We're going to do improv and some kind of performance and laugh a little bit and talk about who you are and how performance can sometimes bring you home to you. The next show at 8 o'clock today is with Jackie Salvitti and ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. And again, we're going to be talking about, Jackie's wanting to talk with the team and with me about how the changes are so rapid right now that people are getting kind of flummoxed and getting giddy and having fun and getting mad and all of those volatile, ever-changing things. But it's kind of mercurial. It's all happening at once. And you can't really count on anything being very stable. Jackie called before this show and we were giggling about it. So it should be a lot of fun tonight. And I'm sure the team, who really lifts us all, is going to inspire you. And I'd like to say that my first television show, Paradigm Shifters, which is Paradigm Shifters radio show, is now being brought into television as I keep talking about it, and it's taking its time. But finally, we're launching the first one. It's just a one-off. It's only going to be one at first, but next month we should be starting our series. And this one is where I meet Swami Beyondananda and Steve Behrman talking about spontaneous evolution. And to start with, it's at KVOS-TV in Bellingham, which runs in Vancouver, Victoria, Seattle, and Portland. And that's Boxing Day, December 26th at 12:30, or January the 1st, New Year's Day at 12:30. That's noon 30. That's KVOS-TV coming out of Bellingham and hitting a lot of the Pacific Northwest, and I'm so excited. I'd love to get some feedback. And for those of you who are out of the range, we're finding different ways of presenting it in different markets, so you'll hear about that soon. Thank you so much for being a part of the Radiance by Design community. Thank you so much for tuning into this show. Let's take a deep breath and breathe out love and caring to one another. And keep stimulating our Radiance by Design community to be this wonderful, growing, choosing, heart-filled group. Season's greetings. See you at the top of the hour.